Blessed Eternal Father, we want to thank you for another privilege that you are giving us this week to come to your house. We thank you for your presence in the life of every one of us, your cares, your provision. Thank you, Lord, for making a way for every one of us to be here, to fellowship around your word, to so that we can know you better, find grace to surrender better than before, that you might work more in our lives to show your glory, that we might fulfill your purpose and counsel and be made ready for your coming. Thank you. It has never been that we have gathered without you vindicating your presence, and you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We look unto you, Lord, to meet every need tonight, the need that man cannot meet, the need that man does not know about, because you created us. You are the one that is working on your people. You know what is needed, and you are more than sufficient to supply, both spiritually, physically, health-wise, financially, in all areas, Lord, you are more than able to meet every need. And so we commit ourselves to you that you help us, give us a revelation and understanding that within this short time that we have, you will have done great things for us. Thank you, Father. May your blood stand for us as we look upon to you, that you forgive our iniquities, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. Welcoming ourselves to the Wednesday prayer meeting as we open our Bible to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We'll read just two verses there. Verses five. We'll read three verses. Verse 5 to 7. First John, chapter 1:5-7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Lord, bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. You can please be seated. We welcome ourselves again to the prayer meeting. I do not intend to stop this service this evening. I intend to carry it along, as we will have another opportunity. I want to speak on, the prophet read this to, I read the scripture, verses 6 and 7, to preach the way to have fellowship. And then he read the verse 7 alone, to preach the basis of fellowship. So we draw inspiration from the two, but my subject is the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. Well, it's not a new thing to talk about the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. We, as
Many as are Christians today who have witnessed the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in their lives know
that the blood of Jesus is very powerful. As we always sing that song, that thou Lamb of God, your precious blood will not lose its power until the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Now, I was kind of inspired to think about this, because I, at this time, I feel we need something like this to understand the essence of the blood of Jesus Christ. As we continue in this journey, and for as many as are still trying to attain unto eternal life, it is important that we know what God has done for us, what privilege, what opportunity God has given us, the great provision that He has made for us. Just like I said, it is not new, but we believe that somehow faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. I read from paragraph 62 of The Basis of Fellowship, preaching at 61, February 14th. Now fellowship is when we can come together. I will not wait for you because you know this time is not friendly with me here. Now fellowship is when we can come together. Now you can't make like crows and doves. They can't have fellowship one with another. Crows and doves. The prophet taught us the natures of these two birds. A crow is an animal that feeds on anything. It will hit on grains and it will still go to a rotten animal and still go and feed on maggots. But the dove is a bird who feeds only on grains. And the prophet told us that it does not have what digests this kind of thing that the crow can eat. So the two of them have different nature, have different desires, have different pursuits. So they cannot fellowship together. Their diet is different. Their habits are different. You have to have fellowship as long as you are in an agreement. And that's what Amos say, that they can two walk together except they be agreed. They have to agree, and their nature have to work together. Now, what makes man long to have fellowship? What makes man come together and want to fellowship with one another? It is because that there has to be some kind of a strain from that. Now, I was some time ago in a great museum where there was a Greek artist. I painted a picture of Adam and Eve. I never seen such a hideous looking sight in my life as that Eve looked like. And Adam, well, if Eve looked like that, hair sticking out like this, and jaws setting sideways, and one arm this way, and the other that way, and one limb about that big around, and the other one like that. Oh, it was an awful looking, brutal looking thing. Well, if that was the way Eve looked, when Adam woke up and seen her, that would have been the desire of a man to his wife today, to look like that. It was a strain. That's right.
Now, we know better than that. Now, God doesn't make nothing unless it is perfect. It's right, good and good, precious, perfect. The prophet is here telling us, Now I believe just like man today, why doesn't man when why doesn't man when he finds out he is a sinner? Why doesn't he come out and say, Father, I am a sinner, I want you to forgive me? No, no. He doesn't do it. He does the same thing that Adam did. Hid himself in the bushes somewhere. You see? He wants to keep away. Why? That's what he did in the beginning. The prophet said, that is why it is not man that seeks after God, it is God seeking after man. Because it was God that began to run up and, you know, looking for Adam in the Garden of Eden. When it was the time for fellowship, and God got there, he didn't see Adam. Well, not that God did not know what has happened, but allow he that way. God has a way of presenting things to hide himself in simplicity. As if he didn't know where Adam was. Adam, where are you? The man that knew the ending from the beginning. Adam, where are you? Adam, it's because I'm here hiding in the machine. I'm afraid to come out. Have you eaten of the thing? Have you partaken of what I said you not partake of? As if God didn't know the infinite in him. Yeah, it will ask a question. I see they didn't know. He wants to know whether you are going to tell the truth or not. He was looking after Adam. Adam wasn't looking after him. Even when Adam had, he was afraid to come out. And that is why we're saying on Sunday, when guilt takes a hold of man, his peace, his joy, everything about him that makes him to be happy disappears. It's not an happy man. It's not going to be. If by that time his blood pressure is taken, it will be high. When God is dealing with the man, when he puts guilt in his heart to make him to recognize that he has sinned. And that's why until God makes a man's sins to be plain to him, he will dance. He will rejoice. He will sing when he's not supposed to sing. When he's supposed to be weeping, he will laugh hilariously. Because he has not seen his sin the way God sees it. So, in all that we are saying, God is the author of salvation. He's the one that brings man to repentance. A man ordinarily cannot do it. We have that in the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And we can prove it. And so if you are here today, God deals with your heart, you do a little thing and you feel guilty about it, it is God dealing with you. But when you do things and no guilty conscience come before you, then you have to put a question mark upon yourself. God was looking for Adam. Adam come walking down the paradise of God together just to see what our mother of the heart looked like. She was a beautiful person, no doubt. And Adam was of every species of a man, masculine in every way, he feminine in every way. But now we find out that what makes man long to fellowship is because that he once had a fellowship. He once had a fellowship. That was Adam. Because we all descended from him. Sort of. Only the seed of God. Remember, the serpent seed did not descend from Adam. So we have to clear that part. Many people will say that we are all descended from Adam. Well, we know what the message says. The message teaches contrary. There's the serpent seed, and from his own came out. So, and they are here on the heart today, marrying and giving a marriage as well. They are walking around. We have them as colleagues. We have them as whatever. We interact with their eyes like we have, their mouths like we have. They are also religious. They are also preachers. They are also friends. They are husbands. They are wives. They are workers. They are all in walks of life. In all the walks of life, they are there. But it is God to guide a man to know who is who when it comes to making a choice. Amen. And so, man, because he was in fellowship before, and that was why he longed for fellowship. That was not in the animals. The prophet says, because God put soul in a man, that's why he wants to fellowship. He wants to worship. Now we find out that what makes man long for fellowship is because that he once had a fellowship. And his fellowship was with God. A man today is trying his best, no matter what he is, if he is an Indian. When we come here, we find an Indian worshipping the sun, worshipping a totem pole. We go into Africa, we find them under little idols and things. There is something he's trying to find his way back. Because his origin was to fellowship with God. The origin was to fellowship with God. That's where he comes from. He knows that he has come from somewhere behind the curtain. And he's only trying to look back behind there to see where he come from and where he is on his road back. That's the reason the supernatural attracts the attention of the people so mightily. It's because men are looking from where they come from and which way they are going. They want to know what lays before them tomorrow. They will consult oracles. They will consult anything consultable. And that is why people run after gifts today, not having discernment of the world. And again, we tell them anything contrary to this Bible. And they will go, you know, unchecked with it. Many, because of seeking after gifts, they have left the world. And they are rejoicing in gifts. They have left the world. They are completely cut off from the world. But they are rejoicing that they have gifts among them. There's only one book in the world that can tell you where you come from. That's the Bible. Who you are, where you come from, and where you are going. And because of where we are going, that we are to consider these things that we are considering. Before you can know where you are going, you have to know where you come from. Yes. Because it is where you come from that determines where you are going back to. Somebody cannot leave home in the morning. If I leave my house in the morning and I go out, it's expected that I return back to my house in the evening. If I don't return back to my house and I go somewhere else, and I'm supposed to return to my house, then something has happened to me. But it doesn't happen. Like in the evening like this, all these free-range birds and goats and whatever, all these domestic animals that we keep, the free-range that you don't that you don't camp. They feed here and there, they can go miles away from their owner's place. And in the evening time, around this time, now especially fowls, because in short while they will not be able to see again. They are already on their way. The goat can still be roaming around. Because they are sort of nocturnal. So it will find its way and go back to the owner's house. Except there is no place for them to stay near their owner's house. That's when they lay around on the feeds and other things. They go back to where they come from. Animals, giving us sign that we must go back to where we come from. So, and it is important for us to know where we come from. And nothing can tell us for the world. It's God's word that will tell us. Because the homegoing is very close at hand. And we have to know those things. And that's exactly. It tells you your destination right here in the Bible and where you come from and who you are. Praise be to God. It is important, as we have seen that. And the prophet made us to understand certain things. The way to our fellowship, the power in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible gave us an understanding of the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood is not the blood of a man, that is the blood of God. And that blood is so powerful as described in the Bible, before we begin to advance into that. The blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful that there is nothing in the law of Moses that a man could not be justified by, that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot justify you. In Acts chapter 13, let's look at that. Acts chapter 13. From verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren. I wonder sometimes why we are. Sometimes some people will leave their seat, they are going out. And that is what some people will be looking at. They will stand up from their seat, they will be going out, and you will see people's head following them as they are going out. And I wonder, what are you looking at there? Is it the dress sense of the person? Or what? Distraction, anyhow. It's just distraction. And devil is responsible for it. May God help us. You know, when we stand there, we see a lot of things. Every movement we see. Call on our Lord. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, by Jesus Christ, all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. It's a perfect atonement. That blood. God, knowing fully well that he was going to bring this blood at the later time of the ages, he introduced it first in the Garden of Eden. He was the first to kill the animals. And I was in the course of studying this, I find that exactly that's the way the prophet said it. In Genesis chapter 3, let's go there. Then you will see what the prophet also says. In Genesis chapter 3, verse. I know this is a prayer meeting, but I will hit a point where we enter the prayer meeting. From verse. Verse 21. Okay, let's be from 19. So that we. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for thus thou art, and unto thus shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. As we just said now, Adam is not the father of all living. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. From here that we have read, you cannot see an animal killed. The Bible does not directly say an animal was killed. It says God here. But here is the revelation where the prophet is talking about God killing an animal. This is the scripture. You can't find any other place. Here is the scripture. Where did he get this skin that he made coats from? Are you with me? This is the scripture where the prophet talk about the shedding of the blood of the innocent animal.
All right, let's read from the way to have fellowship. Paragraph 35.
Look, when Israel was dividing up their lands,
are you there? Okay.
There was, I believe it was, God was one of them, and perhaps the half tribe. They didn't go over into the promised land. They stayed on this side, borderline. Jesus visited that same people. And look at the results of staying out of the full benefits of God's love. When Jesus visited them, he went over in Gadarea. That's where they were dwelling. That's where they come from, right there. And their attitude was still the same way. Because it cost them a bunch of hawks to have the meeting. They asked Jesus to leave their land. They didn't want nothing to do with it. They had their own ways. They had their own churches. They didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. So they asked him to leave the land. But he went anyhow because there was one soul calling for him. Just think, cross that stormy lake, over across there to find one soul in need. That was his love for one needy soul. He will come from glory tonight to this school auditorium for one needy soul that will believe him. And so then, when sin came in, it separated man from fellowship. Notice what God did to bring man back to fellowship. He introduced to the world a blood redemption. God killed what? God killed animals. It's not just a single one. Because the skin won't be sufficient for Adam to clothe him. When I read and I look at, when I got to that place and I look at the scripture 21, that verse 21, he said coats of skins. You see the inspiration upon the prophet. You see, he made coats of skins. And the prophet come in to say that God killed animals and put their skin. Are you there? And put their skin, showing a blood redemption. That is what God started with. And the only way that man can have fellowship with one another, and the only way man can go back to God, is that blood. That's why God himself introduced that. Knowing fully well that the moment man sinned, because God told him that the day you eat thereof, that day you are surely going to die. And the prophet said, of course, they did die. They did not spend up to 1,000 years. No man. And no man will spend up to that in this flesh. Just as it works on the women, that in sorrow you will conceive and give birth, it's the same thing. That same God didn't. The redemption did not take that in away, because it's God's word. It is the cause of it, death, that he comes to take away, the punishment that follows it, that he took away. That is an separation from God. That's what he took away. The women are witnesses that whether the word of God is true or not, those who are mothers, as we read there in Genesis chapter 3. It has never been easy for women once they are married, few months after that. It is up today than tomorrow. And it's all what every woman that is married expects. Is that not true?
Yes.
So there is no man that is going to spend 1,000 years there on the face of the earth. In this mortal body. The man that lived longest was Methuselah. 969. No man has surpassed him. But we are going to live beyond that, but not in this mortal body. Hallelujah. And so, since God said the day you eat thereof, that day you surely die, the prophet said they died spiritually because they were separated from God. And that was actually the major part. And then the other part was that they did not spend 1,000 years, because 1,000 years is a day before God. 1,000 years is a day, is one day before God. So no man has spent up to a day in God's sight. As he said in his word, the prophet taught us that. But the major part is the spiritual separation. Physically, Adam was still alive. But spiritually, he was severed from God. No communication. And that is what man has been looking for. That is looking for. That's why he's trying to worship Steve. He's trying to worship Tyre of the Vengo. He's trying to worship every hyon that he finds. He's trying to worship every goat. Some people worship goats. They will nurture it and be feeding it like anything. It will become so big, you can't kill it. Because they say that it has done some good thing for their great, 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 great grandfather. They're going to be sacrificing to it, giving it animal and giving it food, special food. And the animal will be enjoying in the bush there. Let there be a smart hunter. And we find a way around the place. We kill it, we know not hear any gun. We use arrow to kill it and carry it away. The next day, you won't find good there. Man is always trying because he has a soul. And that won't be the difference between the man and the other. That's why man is conscious. He knows he's naked. Because he has a soul. Animal doesn't have that. That's why they don't care what happens there. In the presence of everybody, they can be mating. And, all sorts of things. They fight everything here. No soul, no conscience, no nothing. But man, he has that. And because he has a soul, it is his soul. He's going to report before God. And so because of that, God knowing fully well that he had a plan for his own people. And driving them from that garden out of that place. If God didn't do anything, then they were lost. There would be no redemption for man. And God, because before the war began, he had that in mind, that he's going to bring his own people back. And then he kill an animal. Which that is a type of the great sacrifice that is going to do. You know. When he gave all the promises about the Messiah coming. And that Messiah, the power in the blood that he will shed is just what we have read, what we have just said in Acts chapter 13, verse 39. There is nothing that the commander cannot forget, the man cannot be justified from, even if the law of Moses will not permit you to be justified. It covers everything except unpardonable sin. And the seed of God cannot commit unpardonable sin. Praise be to God. And there God, after being separated from his creature, God lay out the welcome mat back home by the shedding of the blood. And that was then, and has been, and will always be, God's provided preparation for fellowship with him is through the shed blood. There is no man that can go back to God. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That is the welcome mat. So, shedding that blood, God had created an opportunity for man to come back to him. And that's why it's possible for us today to yearn after God. And that's why it's possible for God to bring all that he has fulfilled today back to us to make it available. So that we can see and witness the greatness and the power of the Almighty God. Alright, let me read this. And then 6504 29b. The sea shall not be here with a shock. Paragraph 101, and then we'll go and pray.
Now, this blood that we are talking about,
as we say, it's not the blood of man, it's not the blood of a Gentile, it's not the blood of a Jew, nor the blood of Samaritan. The Bible says the blood of God. So you see, God made both egg and jam. He created both in the womb of Mary, and that man was nothing but God himself made flesh and dwelt among us, Emmanuel. Not just a fine man, a prophet. He was fine man and prophet, not a teacher, a theologian. Oh, he might have been all of that. He was all in all. But above all that, he was God himself. The Bible says we are saved by the blood of God. God himself, not a third person or a second person. The person, God himself. Great Jehovah overshadowed Mary. And the Creator and created both the blood cell, the life, and also the egg. Praise be to God. The blood that bought our pardon, bought our redemption, bought our deliverance, is not the blood of man, it's not the blood of a Gentile, it's not the blood of Jew, it's not the blood of a Samaritan, it's not the blood of a man. Of course, Jesus was both man and God, 100% man, to fulfill all that the scripture says as a man. And then he was also 100% God to fulfill all that God says he will do as God. He was not less than a man, neither was he less than God. The prophet said that is where God and man met. Now, the reason it has to be like that is because that blood that is required cannot be the blood of anything. It has to be the blood of God himself that we atone from. Her. It has to be innocent blood. That was why the animal God used was an innocent animal in the beginning. It chose that, it took that decision on his own. It's also the decision of God to come down on his own and provide that blood that is required for the atonement of our sins. So that atonement is not just the covering of the blood, like the blood of animal did in the Old Testament. Just like the blood of animal did, he covered their sins, did not divorce it, did not expunge it, did not remit it. It only covered it. It was God's provision. God wanted it that way because he knew a perfect one was coming. That we deal with the blood, that we break it into pieces and send it back to the originator of sin and lay back on him and then waiting for his punishment. God broke that sin into his pieces through the blood of Jesus Christ, the great Clorox. And that is why every son and daughter of God tonight can stand perfect before God without anything against them. God has not one thing against his sons and against daughters that are filled with the Holy Spirit. He has not one thing. Why? Because of that perfect blood. And it's freely given to us. You don't have to do anything. As we read initially, everyone that believe it. That's Acts chapter 13. Everyone that believe him will be justified from where they cannot be justified from the law of Moses. Perfect atonement. That is what God intends for any man, for any woman, from any boy, from any girl. Is to partake of that perfect atonement, perfect work of redemption that is only made possible by the blood of God himself. Scriptures told us that it is the blood of God. And if it is the blood of God, the cleansing is total. Is in the church ages. The cleansing is complete. The deliverance is total. Everything that they did for us through that blood is complete. It's not halfway.
May the Lord be our help. Let's bow down our heads. If you are not under that blood tonight, God still has something against you. Everyone that God has forgiven their sins, that he has cleansed, that he has filled with the Holy Spirit, is because he has searched their lives down to the beginning. And he has found out that they belong to him, and his blood has atoned for them. Having confessed their sins according to the scripture, God has not one thing against them. They are perfect in the sight of the Almighty God. That's what God wants us to be. Brother, sister, if you are not under that blood, run quickly and get covered by that blood. Let the spirit that came out from that blood come upon you. No prayer can be answered outside of that blood. Nothing a man can do outside of that blood. It is that blood that is on the mercy seat that is speaking for me, that's speaking for you. And that's why we call the throne of God the throne of mercy. Because that blood, not the blood of animals, but the blood of Jesus Christ, is there. And he's interceding for me. It is interceding for you to make sure that we come to what we ought to be. If you are not under the blood, brother, come quickly. Because one of these days, that blood will be cleansed from the mercy seat. It will be cleansed and it will become smoky. It will turn from throne of mercy to throne of judgment. When there will be no more iota of mercy to be exercised by God. I will invite our pastor to come and pray for us.
Our blessed Heavenly Father, we bow our heads to the ground where you took our bodies from. As we have just gone through reading, those that shall return. The prophet said that was not spoken of the soul, but of the body, flesh. We are grateful unto you for another opportunity tonight to come before thy presence. You have promised where two or three are gathered together in thy name, there you will be in the midst of them. Your prophet said you come into the midst of your people for this reason, just to meet their needs, answer their prayers, heal the sick among them, deliver the oppressed among them, set the captives free among them, fill them with the Holy Ghost, and refill those already filled. And further your work of redemption in their lives. Heavenly Father, We cannot but appreciate you for the Bible. Though it's one of the commonest books in the market, but there, you find as common as it is, therein lays your program for the entire world. From the beginning, the first human race, to the last one, everything about your plan concerning human race is right in there. Oh Lord, how be it that it's not everybody that open it that can have understanding of it. We thank you for men, the diverse ways that you use. Some of them didn't even know themselves, that you inspire to put this your program together. And that same spirit that was on there is the same spirit that you have put in your people to give us revelation of those things that are written therein. We are very, very grateful. No wonder your prophet preaches among God hiding in simplicity and revealing himself in the same. We thank you. We appreciate you for what you have done for us. It is not what we are. It is not what we have done. No, it is what you have done for us. It is what you taught about us before the foundation of the world. Father, we appreciate you. We thank you, our Master. Blessed be thy holy name, Lord. Having been so gracious unto us, O God, having found grace and mercy like that, Heavenly Father, we want to live a life that is pleasing unto you all the days of our lives. We don't want to do anything, O God, that will hurt your feelings. Just help us, O God. The time of trials, the time of temptations, the time of Lord, whatsoever the enemy wants to put across our path, we absolutely depend upon you to help us, to cause us to triumph and overcome, O God. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Your servant has given an altar call that as many as are not ordered that blood should call. We are praying at this hour, as many, dear Master, as know that they are not ordered that blood, and they are asking in their heart, O Lord, bring me ordered that blood. Heavenly Father, may you answer prayers. Those already there, Lord, may you continue to strengthen their faith. Lord, strengthen their faith, take their faith to higher ground, O God. Thank you, our Master. Blessed be thy holy name. Whatsoever our desires might be, whatsoever our needs might be, that I hear. As we know, our needs differ from person to person, O God, as you bless your people this evening, Lord, don't pass any of us by. As you go from bench to bench, from person to person, Lord, minister to us according to our needs, please don't pass any of us by, Lord. Thank you, righteous Father. Blessed be thy holy name. Bless and replenish your servant that you have graciously used. Lord, it's our prayers. As we go into soon, Lord, into prayer aspect, may you inspire us. May you anoint us. May you grant us option. May we pray as becoming saints. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Thank you, our Master. We love you because you first of all loved us. Blessed be thy name, Lord. In Jesus' most holy name, we pray. Amen.
God bless you. We know our God promised to answer our prayers. We have not spoken to the ear. We have spoken to he that has ears to hear. And that is faithful to his promises. God bless you. We're going to sing 127 before I hand over.
Can we be on our feet?
127. Are you washed? Are you near to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully Trusting in His grace, this I do walk in the blood of the Lamb. I wash in the blood, in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb, your garments spotless are the white as snow, and you wash in the blood of the Lamb. Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? You wash in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? Yes, in the blood, in the soul, cleansing blood. The Lamb, are your garments spotless as the white snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom comes with your robe, all pure and white, in the blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb, will your soul be ready for the mansion's bride? And be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? Gracious Father, we thank you very much for bringing us to church for this midweek service, and Lord, for fulfilling your promise that we are two or three are gathered together in your name, you'll be there in their midst. Lord, we have the testimony that you have brought that to pass to the letter in our garden tonight. We thank you, dear God, for the worship aspect. We thank you for the reading of the scriptures and the time of preaching. We thank you, dear Lord, for Lord, the things we have been taught in your word. We ask, O God, for revelation that is behind it will be the portion of individuals, so that the purpose may be accomplished in our life. Thank you for the time that we have to pray. Though the time is short for this number of requests that has been raised, we pray, dear Father, that you help us in our privacies to be able to continue to commit these things to you until we see all of them in full manifestation. We thank you for all you have done for your children already. We thank you, O God, for your daily cares, mercy, provision, protection, healings and deliverances, and cares and blessings spiritually and physically. We are grateful to you. Lord, we just pray, dear God, that you continue to help us at this time as the ongoing draws closer on daily basis. Help us, dear Father, to, Lord, find time more, Lord, to dedicate to the spiritual things. As your prophet have told us, that very little time is spent on things of eternal reward. Help us, dear Father. Lord, we commit the rest of this week into your hand. We ask your grace be sufficient unto us. Your servant that wants to travel, may you go with him and make him a blessing to your people and bring him back safely when he will be coming back. Master Jesus, and we commend the tape service on Friday and also the service on Sunday. If you are still here by your grace, may you send your blessings unto us again. Lord, we pray for your children everywhere. Lord, that as we pray for them, they pray for us. Work on every one of us. Make us ready that when that 0 hour will come, that none of us will be left behind. Thank you, dear Father. Master, shortly we'll be going back to our home. You are the one that brought us. And Lord, we pray you take us home safely. Those going very far places and those going to near places. Watch over every one of us. Be with students the rest of the week, workers and business people. Lord, as in country is the way it is, we pray that you continue to make a way for your children. Meet our needs, dear Father. Thank you, King of Glory. Blessed be your wonderful name for granting these petitions unto us, as we have asked them with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. The pastor of Ijebu-Ode called to send his greetings, and he specifically said they would like to know ahead of time those that intend to attend the 98th birthday of Mama Defala, which will be next week Saturday. At the foot of that invitation, which is on the notice board, there is a link there that is provided for under the RSVP for people who intend to attend to register. So you can do it individually, or the names could be submitted to the deacon to do everything, but they want to have an idea of the number of people, and also they have to send a code to those coming for admission into the ceremonial hall. I believe the message is clear. So if you are planning to go between now and Sunday, they want the information to reach them. God bless you. This note says, Sister Bat Ogu sends her greetings to all through Sister Oluwarotimi. God bless you. God bless you all. Yeah, we dismiss straight away and trust the grace of God to bring us back on Sunday. Let's sing this old chorus as we dismiss. The blood that flows from the wounded side of Emmanuel is my ransom. Oh, the blood that flows from the wounded side, yes, of Emmanuel is my ransom. Oh, precious blood that saves my soul, yes, precious blood that makes me.
God bless you till we meet again.
The joy.